Welcome to the IM Radio Network, where noted authority coaches, authors, and speakers collaborate and bring to you the best in radio, TV, and live events worldwide. And now, the IM Radio Network proudly presents the Dr. Simone Show with your host, Dr. Simone Revies. Get ready to go. Interactive.
Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Simone. Welcome to the show, The Mind-Body Edge, where we speak of things involving human behavior, mind-body health, life experiences, consciousness, the changeable brain, and how to achieve business and personal success, freedom, and joy. These issues are vital for us to uncover and discuss because they can educate us, heal us, help us grow, and improve the condition of humanity and the planet as a whole, or so we intend. Let me tell you just a little bit about myself, and that will help explain why I'm so passionate about the work that I do in helping other people, and why I have this radio show to get out, to get the word out to more people about different approaches and techniques that can be used to make transformational changes in people's lives. In my former life, I was a licensed clinical psychologist, which I did for a number of years and loved it very much. And then I decided to become a certified business and life coach, as well as a brain coach. I am fascinated by neuroscience, and I've been studying it for years. And I now incorporate a lot of neuroscientific work and tools in my coaching with people, and they are incredibly effective. I knew, as I said, since I was quite young that I wanted to help others. But I had a few derailings along the way in my life. I must admit that I was a major perfectionistic type A. And while this led to my getting a lot of things done in my life, it also almost led to the end of my life. You see, when I was working, kept pushing and pushing and pushing myself to do more and more, and the accolades and awards that I get didn't really mean much to me because I always had to be aiming for the next highest level. And at one point, I became so ill that I was hospitalized for several months, and the hospital called my family 2 times to come immediately to the hospital because the doctor said I was not going to make it. Well, obviously I did make it, but I went back to my home and to a really terrible kind of life. I was in constant pain. I had no energy. I couldn't really concentrate or get anything done. And to make matters worse, I kept comparing myself at that time to what I had been like before and all the accomplishments and the doing I had been doing before. You see, I had never really learned to be a human being, just a human doing. And after a number of months, it just came to a crescendo, and I couldn't stand living that way any longer. So I took my limited energy and I began studying Eastern and Western modes of healing and techniques, and I obtained the help of an expert brain doctor who was just generations ahead of his time in terms of knowledge about the brain. And we developed a program that I followed which slowly but surely made me better and better. And a lot of the changes that occurred included changes in thinking and feelings and actions, as well as changes such as developing self-compassion, which was critical, and engaging in tools such as mindfulness and meditation and the like. And I really owe my life these days to that, as well as to the fact that I am allowed to do the work that I'm passionate about, which is really empowering people to live the lives that they want to live, the lives of ultimate success, optimization, and freedom and joy. So back to the radio show. Thank you for listening to my story there. And I wanted to introduce you to the main act. And that is, today we'll be speaking with Eva Corrine Wallen. She is a mindset coach, a speaker, an author, and founder of the Freedom-Based Mindset. This is a technique that changes limitations, which I'm sure we can all relate to, into possibilities. She's at the forefront of how to use the subconscious mind to reprogram limiting beliefs into empowering beliefs that allow you to manifest easily and effortlessly. She's the author of Boost Your Business with a Book and has had several of her articles published in Oscala Magazine and More Business Magazine. She started out as a coach in 2001, which is quite a while ago in coaching terms. In Sweden, which is where she resides, she was one of the first life coaches, which meant that very few knew what life coaching was. And she didn't know how to sell her services. So she hired her own coach to learn the basics of sales and marketing. And soon she realized that many small business owners needed help marketing. So she decided to become a marketing coach. She did that for several years, but it just seemed she couldn't break through to the next level in her own business. So she started her own journey that took 4 years and led to what today is the Freedom-Based Mindset, a technique that releases fears and limitations right away. So now I'd like to welcome Eva Corrine Wallen.
Thank you so much.
Hi, how are you today?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you.
That's great to hear. We were chatting earlier, and it's actually 6 p.m., for you, and early in the morning, relatively early for me.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit odd. You've had your day, and mine is yet to come.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It's a bit funny.
Yeah. So can you introduce us to the general theme of what you'll be covering with us today? For example, what stands in the way of our manifesting our goals and visions?
I will. I want to speak about fears and limitations and how that is so misunderstood in our world for most people. And we many times think that it gives a sign that it's not the right way. We make up all kinds of stories around it. But when you look at it from a different perspective, it's actually something that helps us to move forward faster and easier. So that is, I feel that that's my mission, because I have been misunderstanding it for so long, and that kept me back so many times, and it really doesn't have to be that way.
Right. Can you give us an example in which your misunderstanding, in your words, held you back?
Yeah. For instance, when I was doing my coaching, my marketing coaching, and I did not succeed the way I wanted, I took classes, I read books, you know, to learn a lot about marketing. And I saw these amazing coaches, mainly from the US, that were, you know, sending out one email and making tons of money. And that didn't happen for me. So I started to blame myself. What's wrong with me?
Mm-hmm.
So my mind was going, like, people don't like me, people don't like what I have, and so on.
Right, right. We do that so often, don't we?
We do. But what actually was going on beneath the surface was that I didn't value myself enough to mm-hmm. move up to a higher perspective in business. So, and by recognizing, because that was not just in my business, that was a theme that was in my whole life, that I didn't value myself enough to have a good relationship. Mm-hmm. I was always stressed out. I didn't feel like I had time to have vacation, to rest and take care of myself. And that was, it wasn't really true, but I thought it was.
Right.
And that's the difficult part, is to realize what is going on under the surface. And that's where the misunderstanding comes from. I talk a lot about the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. And the reason why we so easily misunderstand is that when we get information from the subconscious, which is by feelings most of the time, the conscious mind cannot interpret it right because it talks in letters and numbers. So it's like two different languages.
Right.
So the conscious mind have to learn how to understand the feelings that comes from the subconscious. And by that, we will understand what information lies beneath the surface. And then we are in the power to change it.
Interesting. So the conscious brain has to learn how to translate.
Exactly.
Can you tell us a little bit about how that's done?
Well, it can be done in different ways. You can just, when this, I have stopped calling feelings positive or negative because everything is positive. It's just the way you see it. So it's better to call it wanted or unwanted, or comfortable or uncomfortable.
Yeah. Right, exactly. I like that, comfortable and uncomfortable.
Yeah, because that's a description with no judgment to it.
Right.
So, when you get an uncomfortable feeling, one way to recognize what lies beneath it is to just stay with the feeling, which is a bit uncomfortable. Most people either try to run away from them or we drown in them.
Right.
Believe that what they're saying is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the truth. It's just a piece of you that feels this way. And as long as you're not aware of it, it controls your life.
Right. You can't do anything about it without awareness.
Exactly. So by just being with the feeling, like having it beside you, or taking a step back and see, okay, I have this uncomfortable feeling right now. I feel something weird in my stomach maybe. Mm-hmm. So, and just, you know, being curious and see, I wonder what is going on here. And maybe it shows within minutes and maybe it takes a few days, but if you just stay with it, it will unravel what you need to know about yourself to be able to change it.
Okay. That's interesting, very interesting. And, you know, it makes me think of the fact of the power of the subconscious, that we now know that it dictates at least 95% of our behavior.
Yeah.
And yet, It's unknown to us consciously.
Exactly. But you can also read in your surroundings what you have, what kind of, I mean, the subconscious is made up of different patterns, and we just act them out.
Right.
So if you look at your life and you see things that you like, just enjoy them, and then you see things that you would like them to be in a different way, that is a sign that you have an unconscious pattern that needs to be what I call upgraded.
Yeah.
So nothing is wrong here. It's just the way it is. It's just the way we function.
Right. Right.
And also what I want to say is that to have a non-judgmental attitude to this helps a lot, because it's so easy to make yourself wrong for not being able to succeed in this or that, or always come back to the same nagging feeling.
Right.
But it's not about judging. It's about noticing and then decide something else for you.
It sounds to me like you're talking a lot about, or another way of looking at it is mindfulness, where you suspend any judgment and you really focus on the present. And when emotions and thoughts do come, you would call them uncomfortable feelings and thoughts, we just acknowledge them and do not judge them, and then just let them go.
Yeah.
Well, tell me, Evocreen, what would one of your typical clients look like?
Well, I work mainly with coaches, healers, therapists, mainly. Mm-hmm. And I help them with daring to get out in the world and step out big, because these people are mostly have a big heart, and they don't want to push themselves onto people, and they have a fear of intruding, and they have a difficulty to see themselves as gifts. They have a difficulty usually to see that they really have a value to other people, so they keep holding themselves back. They most of them would prefer to just sit there and have someone else sell for them.
Right.
So people just come to them and they do their work. But, I mean, it doesn't work that way. So I help them to feel good about themselves taking steps out into the world.
Right, they have to take action. It'd be great if as coaches and healers, and, you know, therapists, we could just sit back and a line of people would come to our door.
But it's not
like that, especially these days, right?
It's not.
No.
And that is also personal development, because when you feel confident that you do have some value to bring to other people, the fear that keeps you holding you back will not appear.
Right.
And the thing is that every time you set a new goal, you do have fears that comes up. Fears and limitations, obstacles, that is a part of the game. So when I hear people say that they want to start a new business, that every time you set a new goal, you do have fears that comes up. Fears and limitations, obstacles, that is a... Was that an echo on me?
Evergreen?
Yeah.
Are you there? Okay.
I'm here.
We just lost you for a moment.
Okay.
Okay. I'm wondering. So, oh, yeah, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay. When we were speaking earlier, you had mentioned people who are not in alignment with themselves. What does that term, not in alignment, really mean?
Well, I would say that they're always aligned with themselves, but not with their goals they have for themselves. Because I believe that our soul wants to just grow and experience new things. So it's natural for us to be experimental, to be creative. I mean, look at any child. You can see that that is what they do. They're just curious. They want to try things out, and they invent things. So that is something that lies within us. And when we grow up, we start to feel that fear about inventing, setting new goals, trying new things, because we're so afraid of being a failure. Mm-hmm. And what we tend to not realize is that every time we set a new goal, limitations and fears do come up. They just have to, because you are not aligned with your goal, because if you were, you would already be there.
Right.
So aligned, in what I see it means, is that you are, it's the perfect place for you. That's where you are. So if I take me as an example, when I was doing my marketing thing, before I was diving deep into mindset, I was not aligned with being a successful coach the way I saw successful. I strived to be, but I needed to upgrade my self-value to be able to be aligned with having a successful business.
Right. So it's not enough to just want something.
It's not. I mean, it's good to want something, because that's then you strive for a new way to express yourself, which gives you joy. But also to realize that, yeah, fears and obstacles will come up as part of the game. Nothing wrong with it. It just is, because that shows you what you need to upgrade within yourself.
Right. What do you think happens between the time of childhood and adulthood? What happens to that unfettered curiosity and that just doing things, doing activities without the fear? What do you think happens between childhood and adulthood that changes all of that?
Well, I think it so depends on the environment you grew up in. I can take me and my husband. We are grown up in totally different circumstances. He felt loved. He felt valued. So he just goes out and embraced life. It's like he never had, any big problem. He used to be married once, and he said that the only time I had a rough time in my life was when I went through my divorce.
Okay.
And for me, I was growing up in a totally different circumstances where I didn't feel that I was loved. I didn't say that I wasn't loved,
right?
Because I knew I was, but I didn't receive it. I didn't understand it. So what we tend to do is that we don't see reality as it is.
Right.
We see it, we interpret what is happening and sort of put that together in our mind. And when our brain has got an idea that this is the truth,
right,
it keeps collecting and see the same thing as truth over and over again. So it gets more, even more deep within us.
Right. When our brain thinks it's the truth, it is the truth.
Yeah. But there's
I'm really glad that you mentioned that you didn't say you weren't loved, but you didn't feel like you were loved. You didn't understand it. Because I had a similar situation when I was growing up, in that I received a lot of emotional support and love from my parents. But my parents were both very high achieving, and I had two elder brothers who were the same way. And I was the youngest, and I looked at the fact that I couldn't do what they could do when I was quite young. And the conclusion I came to, again, in line with the blame that we often, put on ourselves, I came to the conclusion that I couldn't do what they could do because I was stupid. And the reality all around me, because I was so successful, didn't mean anything. I didn't process it. I just kept thinking that I was stupid. And that's what led me to becoming a perfectionist and a type A. Being stupid wasn't comfortable for my ego state. So I had to always, you know, do the best and be the best and all of that. So, yeah, it's really what we believe that determines how we feel and act and live our lives.
Yeah. So I'm not really sure what age, but for the first years, the children are like going around in a state of hypnosis. I mean, you know about this.
Right. Well, the first 7 years, they are in the theta brainwave state, which is similar to hypnosis.
Yeah, which means that they soak everything in.
Right.
And also when parents, if they have an argument and they go in a different room to not let the children know they have an argument, the children picks it up anyway.
Right.
Because they're using their subconscious to bring things in. But they cannot understand it because they didn't see what was happening. And that also, I mean, we don't take on just the things we see, we take on so much more.
Mm-hmm.
And we take on habits, we take on, you know, ways to respond to things, so much we just adopt because we don't know any other way.
Right. So you're saying that we absorb so much from our role models?
Yeah.
Okay.
From friends, from TV.
And friends,
you know.
Teachers, right. Right. Yeah, all of those influences affect us and continue to affect us.
It does. And then when we are adult, we do have the power to change it, but then we most often become unaware of what is going on. We just keep doing the same thing over and over again and say, well, this is me.
That's the question I was going to ask you, and you kind of beat me to it. What's so important about awareness?
Well, it depends. I mean, some people, they don't want to be aware. They just want to keep living the way they have always done because they're happy with it. So, again, we don't have to judge people that just want to watch football and drink beer.
Right.
And if they're happy with it, let them be happy with it.
Right.
But more and more people dive into personal development. And personal development, then awareness is the key. Because without it, you cannot grow. And I came into personal development about 30 years ago. And I was in...
You really were a pioneer, weren't you?
I was. I felt so lonely because no one else talked to me about these things, and they thought I was weird. Still think I'm weird.
Eva Corinne, we're going to take a break on that note. The people still think you're weird. And we're going to go to a brief advertisement, and then we'll come back. It'll just be about a minute.
Hello, amazing listeners to the I Am Radio TV Network. We thank you so very much for being here with us today. We wanted to let you know we have an amazing opportunity coming up. We have available broadcast time. If you are a coach, author, speaker, or a business person looking to get your message out to the entire planet, then please get in touch with us as soon as possible, and we will go over the various levels of participation in our network. Again, we thank you for being with us here today on the I Am Radio TV Network. Now, get ready to go interactive.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. I am with Eva Corinne Wallin, who resides in Sweden. So it is early evening for her. And it may be early evening where you are, too. I don't know. But we were talking about the fact that she began in personal development so early that there weren't many other people out there involved in it, and she sort of felt on her own, and people sort of looked at her as if she were strange, or in her words, weird. And she said they still do. So let's continue with that.
Yeah, I'm embracing my weirdness right now, so I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
So anyway, what I was going to say with that was that for many years, I was in personal development for the wrong reason, because I believed that I needed to be better as a human being. And then finally I realized that it's not about becoming a better person, because everyone is good enough as a person. What we do could be something totally different. But as a person, we are what we are. So, and then I realized that personal development is about expanding, learning new things about myself, becoming more who I am, and erase my limiting beliefs about myself and choose what kind of empowering beliefs I want to have about myself. And that felt so, so liberating.
Right. I imagine that really does, because it's the limiting beliefs that put such a stop to the things that we might otherwise be doing and that we might have the desires to do. But when you were talking about uncomfortable feelings and comfortable feelings versus negative or positive feelings, I was thinking of, and change, I was thinking of the fact that when we make changes, yes, we're going to be uncomfortable, but that is the way that it has to be. To change, we have to get out of our comfort zone. And that, you know, humans are predisposed to be really sensitive to things like threats and to change. We need to realize and be aware, as you said, that these fears that come up and uncomfortable feelings and beliefs are part of moving forward.
Yeah. I actually call it information.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have uncomfortable feelings, it's information from your subconscious to your conscious about what you need to up-level.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same. I mean, many people, they don't like these fears and obstacles. Mm-hmm. So they make choices from them instead of what lies beneath the surface. But imagine you and I taking a trip in a car, and we say, let's go to Mexico. And you live in Palm Springs, right?
Right.
Yeah. And after an hour's drive, we end up in Los Angeles. And then we realize we're driven in the wrong direction. And we just sat in the car, drove away without caring about looking at the map.
Right.
So then we see the sign, Los Angeles, and we realize that this is not right. We're driven in the wrong direction. We don't get angry at the road sign. Maybe we get angry at ourselves because we didn't look at the map, but the road sign is information so we can change direction so we can head south again.
I like that a lot. It's just information.
I know, when I speak to people and say that it's just information, just that make many feel relieved, because they see that to see uncomfortable feelings is just information makes them less scary.
Right. Right. Just, I really like that.
And when you see that these uncomfortable feelings are information that helps you actually to move towards your goal faster and easier, when you realize what below the surface, there's nothing to be afraid of. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you feel good, when you're in the flow, enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
And when you're not in the flow, there's some information that is open to you. And when you become aware of that information, you can use it and change your way about how you see yourself. Like, I'm not worthy to become successful.
Mm-hmm.
And I can just, if that lies on the surface, I can then consciously decide that I'm worthy of success.
Right.
And I need to define what success is, because that's different for different people.
Right.
And then I can just tell myself that I am worthy of success.
Right.
And just repeat that. And to go back to what we said about earlier, that when the brain has an idea, it cannot see something else, but
right.
you can actually trick it. So when you want to change a thought like that, you can actually, well, this is from Barry and Katie, and it's brilliant. She said that if you find evidence that another thought also is true, it sort of collapses in your brain, so you can decide which one of you want to focus on.
Right.
And I spoke to a friend recently, and she's probably about to divorce her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And she was really, really sad about that. And she felt that she had failed with everything.
Yeah.
And that is what feelings does with us. They make us feel like everything is a failure.
They generalize.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So then I said, okay, so give me 3 examples of what you have failed at. And then give me 3 examples of what you have succeeded at.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that it doesn't need to be any big things that you have succeeded at.
Right.
It's just that you have succeeded. You have succeeded to learn to walk, to talk, to eat, to live, maybe get children. And when you think of it, you have succeeded with a lot more things that you have failed at.
Right.
So why do you focus more on failure, that you're being a failure, than being a success? And when you come from that perspective, it almost gets ridiculous that you focus and see yourself as a failure.
Right. Right. And what you focus on expands. So
exactly.
When you're focusing on all the negatives, it just keeps getting more and more overwhelming. You know, it's amazing the way you explain that, because that's exactly one of the techniques that I use.
Okay.
People who have a lot of negative thinking, I have them, like, for example, if they make a mistake at work and they have those automatic thoughts that rush through their head about, I'm a loser, I'm a failure, I have them think of some incidents in which they didn't fail, in which they were successful. And then I have them, you know, rehearse those thoughts and focus on those thoughts and repeat those thoughts, because that's the way to literally change the neural pathways in the brain so that you develop the more positive neural pathways. So you and I have that in common.
I think we have a lot in common. Just you talk about the brain,
yeah.
And I talk about conscious and subconscious. But
right.
The end result is the same, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you have sort of a different view about affirmations than many other people have in your industry. Can you tell us about that?
Well, the thing is that affirmations work sometimes, but not always.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason for that. And that is because you need to see what's under the surface. Because if I were to say that I am successful and I don't feel that way, maybe I feel I'm lying to myself. It will not make you more successful. totally the opposite. So you need to, you can reframe it. You can say, I allow myself to be successful, so you can get into the feeling of it. I think there's something else you're thinking of. Is it?
Something else I'm thinking of?
Yeah, when you say affirmation, I have a different view of affirmations.
No, I think I was...
That was it, okay.
Yeah, I was talking about affirmations. Yeah, what did you think I was talking about?
No, I just went blank for a second, so I thought maybe you were thinking about something else. So the thing to make affirmations work, you need to feel that they're true. And it's not that easy to feel that, saying I'm successful when you see yourself heading for divorce, for instance, or not getting enough clients.
Right.
So again, it's about awareness. It's about going beneath the surface and see what is really going on here.
Right. I like that. I allow myself to be successful because, you know, you're right. Your brain can really only think of one thought or one direction at a time. And if you're saying, I am successful, well, subconsciously, you have all of this, or consciously, you have all of this information that you're looking at that's pointing against that and saying, well, I didn't do this and I couldn't do that and I failed at this and, you know. So we really have to, back to the brain, we really have to train our brains what to look at and what to consider.
So again, back to awareness.
Yeah. Back to awareness. That's really important. Now, Evelyn, you have this, you're the founder of the freedom-based mindset.
Yeah.
And that's a method that releases fears and limitations instantly.
Yeah.
Could you run us through a demonstration?
I'd love to.
Okay, great.
So, if you can find something that you want to have in a different way.
You mean a different...
It could be a situation, it could be...
It's a different situation. Okay. All right, listeners, join in, please. This is for all of us. Okay. Got it. You want me to tell you, or?
Yeah, please do.
Okay. Want something a different way. I would like to be able to still be successful, but have to work less, fewer hours.
Okay. So you want to have the same income, but work less hours.
Right.
So when you think about your working hours, what do you feel about it?
I feel like they're an awful lot.
So how does it feel in your body when you think that it's an awful lot?
It's hard to breathe.
Okay. So I just want you to keep noticing that it's hard to breathe. And I will be quiet for just a few seconds.
Okay.
And then I'll come back to you and ask if there's any difference. And it might be that there's no difference to start with. It could be like it has eased. And it could also be that it's getting stronger.
Okay.
So you just say how it feels. So I'm starting now. Okay, so think about your work hours and it's hard to breathe. How do you feel now about it?
Feels a little better. Feels a little more clear.
Okay, but there's still something there?
Yeah.
Okay, so just notice what is going on. Okay, and check again.
The breathing is good, but I'll tell you what. It went into my stomach.
Okay. So that's another layer. So
okay.
It's good. So just focus on your stomach. And check your stomach again.
Stomach feels better. It's amazing because I'm still thinking the same thought of all of the hours, but the feeling is not there.
Okay. So is it clear in the stomach?
Yes.
Okay. Super. So go back and think about the situation that you want to keep the same income but work less. How do you feel about that now?
I feel it's more possible.
That is possible?
Yeah, that it's more possible.
Do you see something else that you didn't see before? Maybe a possibility or something?
I see the possibility in terms of me just getting more organized and better in planning so that I'd be able to work more productively and efficiently, and so work fewer hours.
So when you talk about that, how do you feel about it?
It feels good.
Okay, super.
It feels good, yeah.
Then you're done.
Now, what is it that you're doing in the background, whatever you can tell us?
It took me quite a while to understand what I was doing, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I now understand, I'm taking my brain to a deeper level in a very short time, sort of in no time. Mm-hmm. So the barrier that we have during the day when the brain is active, and that disappears when we go to sleep.
Right.
You know that?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it has a special name or so, but when you have that brain barrier in normal life,
right,
you cannot absorb things in your subconscious so easily. But when it goes down, you absorb anything. So what I do is that I go down to that state and sort of bring your subconscious with me.
Mm-hmm.
So our intention works. That's the way I can explain it. Maybe it doesn't make sense, but yeah, it's the best.
So when you say our intention works, do you mean
the intention
yours and mine, or do you just mean in general that one intention works?
You had an intention that, or you and I had an intention to release,
yeah,
what was in the way of you feeling okay. Or release what was lying beneath the surface.
Right.
Feeling the stress of these many work hours.
Right.
And whenever we have a block that gives us these uncomfortable feelings, it stops us from seeing possibilities.
Right. Well,
so when we released it, you suddenly started to see new possibilities. They were there all along, but you didn't. You were not able to see them because you had this blockage.
Right. You know, it sounds to me like the reticular activating system in the brain.
Okay.
And that is that allows information into our conscious from our subconscious. And when we make goals and focus on things that we want, then things that are relevant to achieving our goals are allowed more easily through the reticular activating system into the conscious so that we become aware of them. And that's like what you're saying about realizing possibilities.
Okay.
It could be, for example, that I decide my goal is to increase my business by 20%, X amount of dollars, and I'm focusing on that. And subconsciously, my reticular activating system starts looking for ways that I can accomplish that goal, sort of to put me in alignment, in your words.
Yeah.
And so let's say I'm driving one day and I pass by a factory that I've driven by many, many times, but I've just put out this intention to and goal to increase my business and my income, etc. And all of a sudden I look more carefully at the factory and I think, hey, you know, that factory makes this part that's really important in the product that I produce. Why don't I go see how much they charge for it? And so this business that you've passed every day for several years, you go in and you talk to them and you find out that they produce the part much more cheaply than what you've been paying for it. So your reticular activating system let through that information.
Yeah.
About, hey, check out that business.
That's what I call the subconscious working for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you have the right programming, set
right.
The goals that are right for you, then that kind of synchronicity happens.
Right. Very interesting. Have you ever had a time that has happened in your life?
Yeah, many times. I live in Sweden, and I've been working mainly in Sweden for many, many years and wanted to start to work international. And last year, I invested so much in my company, so I decided beginning of this year that I'm not going to buy any course, anything else now. I'm just going to work with what I have.
Yeah.
And then one day, I opened my computer, and there's an email from this guy. I've seen his commercial videos before, so I knew what this was up to. I said, well, it's interesting, but I'm not going to buy it. And then the last day, he says, this is the last day. I just felt I had to.
Yeah.
I don't know why. So I bought it.
Yeah.
And then just a few weeks later, I got an email from him, thanks to that I bought this thing from him, saying that you are invited to an event in Alicante in Spain.
Oh, Alicante.
Three weeks from them.
Right.
And that was the start of a European network for people like me. That was just totally perfect.
Oh,
and there I met, among others, Michael Beckwith.
Yes.
And got to hang out with him. I mean, we were just 24 people there. So
that's fantastic.
We went on a picnic together, you know, things like that.
So yeah.
That was really, really amazing. So that is the start for a totally new chapter for me, connecting with other countries in Europe.
Yeah, yeah. So that's really good. You got what you wanted, what you planned for.
Yeah, and I could never have planned for it because I didn't know the guy who was organizing it.
Right. Yeah.
So
that was definitely an example of that principle in practice.
Because again, when I felt Alicante, said, that's brilliant, it's in Europe for once, but I'm not going. So I just shut down my computer, went out from the room, and then something just drew me back. I couldn't resist it.
Yeah.
So that was really, really strong. Not every time it's that strong, but...
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing that you listened.
Yeah.
So that was your subconscious coming
Absolutely.
Through, telling
Absolutely.
You, yeah. telling you, do this now.
Yeah. So, and okay. I mean, I've been through that many times, but it's not often it's that strong. Sometimes
right.
it's just, you know, like a whisper.
Right. Yes, and that, you know, makes me think that we have to really pay attention. Again, be aware. Listen to those whispers. Listen to our intuition.
Yeah.
Because our intuition is so often right on.
It is.
And it's separate from, it's different from the rational conscious thinking that we typically do.
A question that I get now and then is, how do you know when it's your intuition speaking and when it's not?
Right.
And when you feel fear, mm-hmm. it's not your intuition.
Okay.
When you feel calm, it's probably your intuition.
Okay. I'm calm. Great. Okay. We have just a couple of minutes left. So I wanted to make sure that you can tell people how they can get a hold of you. So that they can learn more from you.
Yeah. My website is awakecommunication.com.
Awake, like asleep awake?
Awake, being awake.
Yeah, awakecommunication.com.
Yes.
.com.
So that's my website.
Right. And your Facebook is Eva Corinne, E-V, like Victor, A-K-A, R like Robert, I-N like Nancy, dot Wallin, W-A-L-L-I-N as in Nancy.
Yes.
Great. Well, I wanted to thank you so much for joining us today. I think you shared some really valuable information with us and took us on a good journey.
Well, thank you for letting me be here. I appreciate that.
It was my pleasure. And I know that you gave a lot of good information to our listeners. All right. So we're going to wrap up for today. I have a couple of minutes left. And I wanted to let you all know that I'll be back in 2 weeks from today. So that'll be August 23rd, and it'll be again at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, and I'll be interviewing a woman named Rosie Aiello, and we're going to learn about how to maximize productivity and time management. Boy, I know I can sure use that. So thank you for joining me today, and thank you from the IM Radio TV Network. As mentioned during our commercial broadcast, if you're interested in having a great radio show and having a lot of fun like I do, come look us up. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful day or a wonderful night. Take care.